Guru Krishna Rupahaya Shastrira Pramana Guru Rupa Krishna Kripa Karena Bhakta Gane. According to the deliberate opinion of all revealed scripture, the spiritual master is none different from Krishna. Lord Krishna, in the form of the spiritual master, delivers his devotees. Purport. The relation of a disciple with his spiritual master is as good as his relationship with the Supreme Lord. A spiritual master always represents himself as the humblest servitor of the Supreme Lord. But the disciple must look upon him as the manifested representation of Godhead. Then I'll read the next... next verse also. Acharyamam vijaniyan navamanyeta karichit namarcha buddhya suyita sarvadeva mayo guru. One should know the acharya as myself and never disrespect him in any way. One should not envy him, thinking him an ordinary man, for he's the representative of all the demigods. This is a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam 11:17-27. Om Jnana Timarandasya Ginnana Salakya Shakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Si Guruve Namaha Si Chaitanya Mano Bistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapanantikam Si Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Si Advaita Gadada Sivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It is stated that at the time of Diksha, the spiritual master imparts Divya Gyan, transcendental knowledge, to the disciple. Such knowledge is the beginning of our devotional service. We require to act upon transcendental knowledge. Twice born. Initiation also means twice born. Twice born means a birth based on living a life according to the scriptures. The scriptures must be central in our life. They are the guiding principle in our life. Without scripture, we can practice spiritual life based on sentiment, but we cannot really find full shelter. The spiritual master is the representative of Krishna, the representative of the scriptures, the representative of the parampara, saksadharitvena samasta sastra. He is to be as good as God, scriptures say. He is living according to the Vedic literature. He's teaching the Vedic literature, and he's trying to induce others to live according to the Vedic literature. He has realized the conclusions of the Vedic literature. In this way, the spiritual master acts as a representative of Krishna. In this verse that I was reading, text 45, it is said that it is Krishna in the form of the spiritual master who is delivering the disciple. Today, those who take initiation, first initiation, are going before Krishna and are basically vowing to give their life to Krishna. This is like a lifetime commitment. The spiritual master is there as the representative of Krishna. However, although the spiritual master is considering himself, as we read, an ordinary servant, just a humble servant, the disciple sees the spiritual master as good as God. We should know that Krishna enters into this relationship. Krishna is present in the relationship. And it is Krishna who is guiding the entire activity. Krishna is an active part of that relationship. And ultimately, it is Krishna who is delivering us from this material world. But the spiritual master, he can simply request Krishna. Srila Prabhupada speaks in one lecture about Hiranyakasipu performing his austerities. And then Hiranyakasipu came before Lord Brahma, and Lord Brahma and asked for all these benedictions. Not in the day, in the night, not inside, not outside, not any animal, not any demigod, and so on, long list. And then finally, Lord Brahma granted this. Then we see that Lord Nrisingadev, when he appeared, he upheld the words of Lord Brahma. So this is called Rishi Uchu. Srila Prabhupada said, Rishi Uchu, the Lord upholds the words of the saintly person. So when the saintly person, or Prabhupada says, when the saintly person says, you chant 16 rounds and you follow four regulative principles and you'll go back to Godhead, then you must go. Now, what happened there is that Srila Prabhupada, as our example, purchased Krishna by his devotional service. And therefore, Krishna, how could Krishna not reciprocate with his request? So when the saintly person, when the Rishi speaks, the Lord upholds what he says, simply because that devotee has purchased the Lord. And that is the principle. Therefore, this initiation is very important, because although we have been chanting Hare Krishna, and although we have been trying, now the spiritual master will be there. His prayer will be there. And Krishna will be more inclined. He will be more inclined to shower his mercy upon us. It is in this way that we understand that in spiritual life there is our endeavor and there are also blessings. And ultimately, the mercy coming through the spiritual master, through the Vaishnavas, that puts more weight in the scale than all that we do, actually. So, therefore, the connection with the spiritual master is very, very precious. And it says, this Guru Sunara Matir, one should never take the spiritual master in a casual way and treat him like an ordinary person. Whatever he says should be taken as oh, this carries weight. This is important. It's not just, all right, some idea, nice advice. I'll think about it, see if it's practical. Thank you. That was helpful. Maybe. Somehow or other, whatever he said is to be taken serious. That is the injunction of the scripture. Spiritual life is a wonderful opportunity. Srila Prabhupada made it very clear that his intention was that by taking initiation, we are making the commitment to dedicate ourselves so that we can go back to God at this lifetime. And it's very much something I like to emphasize. Back to Godhead this lifetime, not next life, not slowly progressing. No, no. So the effort must be made. Absolutely. Every year we celebrate a Vyasa Puja with the objective to renew our relationship, to glorify the spiritual master, and to renew our commitment. So that we catch ourselves when we slip. Because Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami mentions Durgame Patinendasya Skalat Padakatir Mohu Yat Kripa Swastidane Na Santa Santavalambanam, that my path is very difficult. My feet are slipping again and again. And that's who can say that it's easy, this spiritual life? I don't know. It is not. Although it is simple, right? It's not complicated to chant Hare Krishna as our main activity for regulative principles. It is not complicated. It is not so difficult to understand what to do, but it's not so easy to do it. And it's not so easy to do it for a lifetime and to remain motivated. Taking vows is relatively easy. It's quickly done. Right? It's not like, sometimes I give the example that the spiritual master is giving the lecture, and his voice is just like water, like waves of water. And his waves of sound are coming, and the mind goes into passive mode, and we are sort of floating like in a little boat on these waves of sound, and all the things he says, and the mind is just, yes. And then suddenly he pushes our little boat, right, away from the shore, and then it's really happening. Then it goes very quick, and suddenly the beats are there, and then before you know it, the vows, that's the first initiation, a little dramatic. It's definitely the moment that the lecture ends, the mind is still passive, and then suddenly the vows are to be taken. But then it's over within a matter of a minute or so, you know, and then you have a new name and sort of try to wrap your head around it. What that was? What was that name? My God. And so on. And then it begins. It's easy to speak the vows. It's not so easy to live the vows. One time, we were performing a initiation ceremony in a Swiss retreat, in a beautiful Swiss chalet, right? And there was no question of making a fire. You don't make fires in Swiss hotels, right? Absolutely no fire. So, all right, it was one of those initiations without fire. But somehow or other, that day I visualized that the vows itself are like a fire, and that we make many offerings to the vows. We have to make many sacrifices in order to live these vows. It's not automatic. No one can automatically just follow these vows for life. I'm doing this on the strength of my determination. I'm determined. I'm going to do it. That's not very comforting. That's when I get worried. When we are in the mood of taking shelter, taking shelter of the scripture, taking shelter of association of the devotees, taking shelter of kirtan, taking shelter of prasadam, taking shelter of the deities, taking shelter of the senior Vaishnavas, taking shelter of the acharyas, taking shelter. And the funny thing is this, in the material world, when you've done something for a long time, you become very expert. You know, you can do it very fast. Right? In the beginning, it's very slow. Then after a while, you've done it many times. You can do it very fast, whatever it is, done. Right? So you gain expertise. It becomes easier over time. But in spiritual life, in the beginning, it seems to be kind of easy just on the basis of mental resolve to follow the four regulative principles. But over time, it takes more and more nourishment to actually maintain. Therefore, the second initiation is giving us that path towards more nourishment, to go deeper in our hearing and chanting and remembering of Krishna. That is the purpose. The Gayatri Mantras basically are giving us a meditation on Krishna, a meditation on serving Him under the guidance of the spiritual master, serving Him with the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, serving Him fully to His full satisfaction. To put His satisfaction first. Of course, the meanings of the Gayatris are confidential and are only given when, after preliminary practice. So, we'll later on, that part of the initiation will be private with the second initiates. But one is expected to act at least on the platform of the mode of goodness. Try to embrace the mode of goodness. Now, to be, Srila Prabhupada is saying that we should associate with the mode of goodness. I like that, because when I have to be in the mode of goodness, that's difficult. Yeah, that's very difficult. Then I get passionate about being in the mode of goodness. So that's complicated. But to actually associate with the mode of goodness, that's practical. That can be done. Srila Prabhupada could make things very practical. In the first initiation, the focus is on chanting specifically. Right? The essence is the chanting. And there, Srila Prabhupada stated that attentive chanting is what is important. Now, attentive chanting is something very complicated, because it's like the mind goes here and there, and while I'm chanting, my mind is on another planet or another part of the world or doing something else. Very difficult to actually remain focused. But that Prabhupada also made very simple and practical, because Prabhupada basically said that attentive chanting means to hear ourselves chanting. So, that we can try to do. We can just try to listen to ourselves chanting. And then we also will start to pronounce it better, and so on. So, really, let us chant and let us hear. Let's try to hear ourselves chanting. In this way, we strengthen our chanting. When it comes to the second initiation, let us at least try to act in the mode of goodness. Right? Of course, the goal of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement is not to be in the mode of goodness. Right? The goal of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is his movement is to elevate all those who are part of it in or touched by it, to the level of pure love of God. Right? So that's where we want to take it. So mode of goodness is we are acting properly according to scriptural injunction. That's very nice to act properly, but it's not enough. A level beyond that is where we are acting properly because we desire to please Krishna because of pure love, and therefore we naturally act in the proper way. So the commitment in the first initiation is about what we do, 16 rounds, 4 regulative principles. Second initiation is about embracing qualities, trying to act exemplary, try to become a vaya media. So there's some guru tattva there. There is some sense of becoming an instrument of Krishna and living according to the will of Krishna, to put our own will aside and just simply say, yes, Krishna, I had so many plans, but now I am yours. We are... who doesn't dream, not only at night, but also dream about life, daydreams, just think about, just dream about what you could be, what you want to be, what you'd like to have, where you'd want to go, what you'd like to see and taste and know. Who does not dream? We have to just, when we become Krishna conscious, then we just try to adjust our life and put so many of these dreams aside and just say, okay, I'll just try to be what Prabhupada wants me to be, what Krishna wants us to be. In this way, we need to make adjustments. These initiations, usually when we sit in such a ceremony, it doesn't mean that we are qualified. It just means, all right, we've somehow or other done something that now we're getting the mercy. And that mercy means now is the day, today is the day to get to work.
Pull up the sleeves. That's the day. It's the day. Yeah, it's not the day from, I made it, you know. I mean, I understand, you know, when there are, nowadays it takes quite a procedure to get to the point where you get the permission. In the past, it was sometimes quite quick. Someone came and, all right, yes, you can be initiated. And then the next day they would be initiated. Nowadays, you go to a lot of things, from sadhana sheet to, you know, many other things. Right? So at the end you think, whew, I made it. But the truth is, no, we didn't make it. Now we got to get serious. So yes, it is time to get to work and to make a more serious effort than we've made so far. That's why it's always good to go to these initiations, because you sort of refresh your own focus. Yeah, and that's the idea. So we have to become more focused from this moment on. There has to be that change. An initiation is, in that sense, a serious thing. It's also a very blissful thing. It's also because it rains blessings. Right? The blessings in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement are just so extraordinary. First of all, there is Lord Chaitanya, who gives us very quick results. One of my
favorite verses is Katanchana Smite Yasmin Duskaram Sukaram Bhavet, that by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, whatever is difficult becomes easy. And whatever is easy, even without the mercy of the Lord, becomes difficult. So there's no doubt that by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, things become easy. We can very quickly attain success in spiritual life. So that's very auspicious. However, we have to make that effort. It will be a fight. It will be a fight with the mind and the senses. Described that taming the mind is like taming a tiger. Now, do you know how to tame a tiger? I mean, I had no idea how to tame a tiger, but Prabhupada seems to know everything. Prabhupada knew how to tame tigers. Right? So he gave a whole description how you tame a tiger. And first you have, okay, they have some bait in a trap, in a cage, and somehow the tiger's in the cage. Then they take that smaller cage, okay, bring it to a bigger cage, and the small cage is in the bigger cage. Then they keep the tiger, and they will not feed the tiger for days. Tiger is starving. You know how it is on a fast day. Yeah. After a while, you feel weak, your legs are like rubber, you know. So even a tiger starts to feel weak when it's fasting. A tiger is like, oh, miserable from fasting. Then the trainer comes into the cage. They let out the tiger out of the small cage. Then the trainer comes and he beats up the tiger. But, you know, because a tiger is a tiger. It's not just a friendly little creature. It's a brute. So, okay, with the whip, he beats the tiger, pushes him back with that chair and this and that. And then, oh, the tiger is now. One day, the trainer comes back into the cage, has the whip ready, and the tiger is, no, not again, no, no, no. And the tiger bows down, offers obeisances to the trainer, said, you are my master. So, Prabhupada says, the mind and the senses, also, we have to, the fight with the mind and senses means we have to ignore the mind and senses. We have to not just give in to the pushings of the senses, the pushings of the mind. We have to say no. Now, if spiritual life would only be saying no, that would be very difficult. So, we need to embrace positive activity, which will give us some taste. Chanting of Hare Krishna, nice kirtan, get some taste. Nice prasadam, get some taste. Ratiyatra, taste. Festivals, taste. So much taste. So that taste nourishes our motivation. And philosophy, yes, yes, yes. That nourishes my motivation. I understand why it's better. Then I can do it. In this way, we can strengthen our motivation. In the beginning, a lot is done on the basis of knowledge and on the basis of association. Later, we may become more advanced and we may start to develop more tastes. But at this stage,
Someone told me, initiated the vote, he told me, I can't chant Hare Krishna no more. I said, why not? It's like, I have no taste. I said, well, you're not supposed to have any taste. Why do you think you have to have taste? That has nothing to do with you. Nothing to do with it. You're not supposed to have taste. It's just you should just understand that, you know, somehow or other, you've gone too far. You've gone too far. There's no way you can just give up being a devotee. You're going to be a devotee. You can choose whether you want to be a happy devotee or an unhappy devotee. That's it. Anyway, I tried somehow to say something that would sort of wake up this devotee and, you know, to the point of to start chanting again. But yes, so in the beginning, it may be we are nourished by knowledge. We are nourished by association. We are nourished by being regularly in the temple. We are nourished by being enthusiastic in service, in the festival. All these things will nourish us. So that we have to do. That we have to do. If we just stay home and think, well, you know, I'm not going to Bhagavatam class. And you think, well, I'll listen online. And say, oh, well, so tired today. Take a little rest. And I didn't listen online either. Actually, didn't listen for the last 3 months, didn't listen for 6 months, didn't listen for 1 year. And suddenly, that which was easy has become difficult. So we have to catch it early. No. Every day, some hearing. Every day, there must be hearing. Every day, we make a commitment to chant. Try every day to connect with devotees. Right? Offer what we eat. Not like Sri Vishnu. No. Offer it nicely, if we can. Of course, Sri Vishnu is also a way of offering, but it's that sort of... Sometimes we offer, and it's something, I compare it to the microwave. You put things in the microwave to warm it up, and at the end the thing says, ping, and it's warm. In the same way, we treat the altar like a prasadam machine. You just put something there, and ping, it's offered. It's prasadam. Where's the... It could be with a little bit more of bhakti, maybe. Why not? So let us try. Let us try. This day is meant for that. This is the day of building our resolve. This is the day where we say, okay, I'm going to make a fresh start. I'm going to make a special effort. And whether it's first or second, first initiation is kind of easy because it's clear. It's 16 rounds, no less, right? Preferably more, and 4 regulative principles, no less. Right? So it's really clear. Right? Second initiation is more difficult to grasp. You have to try and be in the mode of goodness. Well, when are we? Am I in the mode of goodness? Am I not? You're supposed to develop qualities. Do I have them? Don't I have them? It's much more difficult to grasp. But still, let us stay close to the scripture. And through the scripture, there we see the examples of great saintly personalities. And let us try and follow in their footsteps. Act, Srila Prabhupada would say, do as I do. Do as I do. In this way, it will happen. So we are very fortunate. The Vaishnavas are here. The Vaishnavas have brought their blessings. I thank Mother Vishakha, who is representing Srila Prabhupada by having so much good fortune of being so closely to Srila Prabhupada and photographing Srila Prabhupada and hearing from Srila Prabhupada and whatever, being his intimate servant. So I thank her for bringing us blessings. You're fortunate that she is here. We're fortunate that she took this service in the Bhaktivedanta manner. Right? It definitely brings in a level of depth, you know, that we need. Because in these big temples, like the Bhaktivedanta manner, spiritual life can so easily become social life. A social thing, you know, devotee association can become so easily having pizzas together and stuff like this. I know, I work in South Africa, in Durban, which is very similar to the UK. But spiritual life is, we are not only here for our own advancement. No. Lately, I have been speaking about Antya Lila, Chaitanya Charitamrita, about that dog. And I'll say it one more time. That dog that followed the party of Sivananda Sen as they were traveling to Puri. The dog just joined. So Sivananda accepted the dog. But then later, the servants didn't care so much. Then the dog disappeared. Then the dog re-emerged in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's association, sitting next to Mahaprabhu, eating coconut pulp, thrown by the Lord. And the Lord told the dog to chant, and then even a dog can chant. And the next day, that dog went back to Godhead. Now, that dog got the mercy because Sivananda Sen, who was a great devotee, was favorably inclined towards that dog. So Prabhupada writes a purport, and in that purport he says, in the same way, if all the devotees of this movement become pure devotees, then the people of this world can just go back to Godhead without even knowing it. Now that was Prabhupada's vision, see? His vision wasn't just all of you be pure, be devotees, you know. My purpose is to create a congregation of people who are seriously following. No, Prabhupada's mood was, let this movement, let everyone become a pure devotee so that the whole world can go back to Godhead. So yes, this initiation is also an initiation into that. Let us think about the welfare of the whole world. It's not just about our spiritual life. Let's do something. Do something for the welfare of the world. Let the Bhaktivedanta manor be a place from where Krishna consciousness spreads everywhere. Everywhere. Sometimes I see that people, they do a service and part of preaching, and then they get a little older, move on in life, and then they retire. No, we don't retire. No. When you're 99, okay. Then you can retire. But otherwise, you know, Prabhupada didn't retire. So, no. How can we retire? Sansara dava nadali the loka. There's a blazing forest fire. You're going to retire in the middle of the forest fire? It's not the time to retire. We got to do something to put it out. And if we don't put it out, we're going to burn. If we don't preach, Maya is preaching. Maya is preaching to you many times a day. Yes. All right. So Dear Vaishnavas, thank you for being here and blessing this occasion. Yes, your good wishes are needed. Your kindness is needed, and may your shelter is needed. Please always give shelter to these devotees. Please give them your friendship. Treat them kindly, so that they will feel very enthusiastic to always be in the association of the devotees. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.